We're going to carry on doing some preparatory work before we come on to looking at the prayers of the apostles that we're going to look at in September. But we really felt God wanted to make some time for us to look at some significant things before we move on to that. So we've looked at repentance and what repentance means about, you know, walking a different path. Remember? And we've talked about idolatry, the things that we put before God. And we spent a couple of weeks looking at that, how we can elevate ourselves before God. We can make idols of ourselves. And Linda this week is going to come and bring a word that the Lord has really put on her heart. And we've kind of journeyed with her on this a little bit. And it's about the power and the impact of sin and how seriously we need to take it. So Linda's going to come and share with us this morning. Let me just pray for her. Lord, just be with Linda now. Lord, this word that you've put into her heart, let it just bubble out of her and give us ears to hear what you want to say to us this morning, your church, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, everybody. It's lovely to see you out there. It's lovely to have some people in the building. It's been so long, and what a difference it makes. It's really good, and it's good to know that you're all with us as well. Now, we've been sitting down for quite a long time, so I think you need to just stand up for a minute and give yourself a little bit of a shake, okay? You can even do a little bit of a turn around if you want to. Make sure you're not too close, and just get, yeah, just make yourself sort of a little bit, whew, I'm ready to hear something this morning. Okay, so, right, so you can sit back down again now. Is everybody ready? You know, I was reminded again this week about the power of this, God's word, but I was also reminded that we need the Spirit to help us understand it and reveal it to us. So let's just pray just as we start off. Father God, as we hold this word in our hands, you've given it to us and we are so, so grateful. And we invite you now, Holy Spirit, to reveal what you want to say to us this morning. Come and speak to us, soften our hearts, speak to our minds. Let us be transformed, let us be different at the end of what you want to say to us this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Right, sin. Sin is a very little word, isn't it? And I've been talking to a few people over the recent weeks saying I've been thinking about sin, and I've been told so many different ways of how to explain sin. I was getting a bit confused, really. And then I listened to this podcast. A couple of years back, we went to Australia to see our oldest daughter out there, and we stopped off at Hong Kong, and we went to this church called the Vine Church, and I regularly listen to their podcasts. And this particular a few weeks ago, he was talking about sin, and it was like, bam, straight to me. I thought, why hasn't anybody explained to me sin like that before? And my immediate reaction was, I want to share this with the children. Because when I was a child, we talked a lot about sin, but it was a bit like one mountain one side, one mountain the other side, and what you need is the cross in the middle so you can walk across. But so what? So what? And so that was my immediate reaction. I want to tell the children about this. So we're going to unpack a little bit about sin this morning. And I wonder if I asked you the question, you know, what would you say if I said, can you describe to me in a few short sentences what sin is? Have a think about that for a moment. I was talking to somebody this week, and we were thinking about how many people there should be in a house under the COVID rules, and we were one over, and I said, oh, I'm not sure if I can do this, because I'm talking about sin on Sunday, and that would be awful if I broke the rules. And this person said to me, but that's not a sin, that's just something really small, don't worry about that. So I said, well, what is a sin then? Oh, something's really, really bad and really big. So I said, well, how can I work out whether a little sin is a sin or a big sin is a sin? You know, what makes a sin? And then it went quiet. You know, often we talk about sin, some churches talk about sin, you know, and we come out feeling heavy and burdened, and it's so, you know, you feel, oh, and you just can't break through. It's just so heavy, and it's like talking about punishment and all of those things. Those things are right. But other churches and other places, we hear about, oh, we don't hear about sin at all because, you know, we don't want to offend anybody. You know, we don't want to upset you. And, you know, everything's always good and awesome and we don't talk about sin. But I wonder, what does God say about sin? Now, I haven't put any verses onto the live stream because I thought we could do this in our Bibles together. So if you have got a Bible, we'll start off in Genesis 6. Okay. Genesis 6. I think it's Genesis 6. Yes, Genesis 6, here we go, verse 5. We'll start at verse 5. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought and imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry that he'd ever made them and put them on this earth. It broke his heart. When I heard that, it was like, whoom, you know, my sin is breaking his heart. The next one, Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah. And you need to find chapter 59. Okay, Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, where we read, "Listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear your call. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and he will not listen anymore. It's your sin that has cut you off from God." And then Proverbs 6. Okay, Proverbs 6, verse 16. "There are 6 things the Lord hates. No, 7 things he detests. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness that pours out lies, and a person who sows discord in the family." And our final one is Romans 1, verse 18. "But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness." So we have a broken heart. We are cut off from God. There are all those things that he detests. That's a very strong word. And the fact that our wickedness suppresses the truth. It's hard stuff, isn't it? So the question is, you know, who is a sinner? Well, we read, don't we, in God's word, that everybody's a sinner and that we all fall short from the glory of God. That's really, really tough. I was thinking about that, and so often we hear people say, but this person's such a good person. This person's the salt of the earth. And up in Bedfordshire, where I come from, we say, he's a good old boy. You know, there's all these things that we say about somebody, you know, being good. But the Bible talks about Jesus, and Jesus is the only one that hasn't sinned. So I want to take the greatest commandment. Let's look it up. It's in Matthew 22. Let's read it together. Matthew 22. Verse 37. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second and equally important is love your neighbor as yourself." And this bit's important. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Jesus isn't saying all that's gone in the Old Testament. He's saying, I'm fulfilling, I'm giving you, I'm summing it up in these two commandments. So, Jesus, he doesn't sin because he loves God and he loves his neighbor. Can I honestly say that I love God the same as Jesus does and love my neighbor the same as Jesus does? No, I don't. So there must be something inside me that's getting in the way, and that is sin. Might sound simplistic, but I like simple, so that I have got sin inside of me. It's not about how good I am or what level of sin I think I have done or haven't done. It's all about how much I live, I love and I am like Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's what will reveal my sin to me. So what does sin look like? A little while back, I don't even remember, we were supposed to go on that prayer walk and it started to rain. So we cancelled it. But I woke up that morning and thought, I really still need to go. So I set to with my waterproofs and my coat and a sneaky Baker Tom Chelsea bun in my bag to keep me going. And off I went. And I parked in this car park out here and I started to walk up the road. And my prayer was, Jesus, show me what I need to repent of, because Matt had spoken on that the week before. So I started walking along the road. I'm just going to use a little prop here. Here we go. Here's a little prop. You might not be able to see this. This is a tiny little person. Okay. So this is me walking along the road. Okay. So I got to the top of the road and I was walking away and I suddenly realized I'd gone the wrong way. I'd actually turned towards Sainsbury's rather than turning towards the green field where we meet. And it was like in my head straight away, it was, but you do that so often. You just walk your way and you don't walk my way. And that is something that you need to repent of. So that's a sin. And then I got to the green field. Okay, so let me put that thing that I need to repent of inside there. There we go, and off I go again. So then I got to the green field, and it was a really dull, misty day in Truro, and you could only just see the top of the cathedral. Have you ever looked down, you know, from the valley, and you can only just see the top bit? And in my head again, it was like the church. Linda, you've been hiding inside the building. The church hides too much inside the building. It's like a denial. It's like a denial of the good news. And that's something that we need to repent of. So that was something else. And then I walked along the dual carriageway over the top and down. And on that day, I don't know what the speed limit is going down that dual carriageway, but there was lots and lots of cars. And they were really speeding down there. And into my mind again, it was, do you know, you don't follow my promises. You don't follow my ways. You know, this is selfishness. This is just like those cars are whizzing down. If somebody had stepped out, there would have been a terrible accident. You know, we've got to think about this. This is, you know, we're being selfish. And that's something else. That's another thing. That's something else that we need to repent of. And then I kept walking and stopped in at Tesco's for a quick break and then came out. And then I walked along past BBC Radio Cornwall. And this one really struck me because obviously at BBC Radio Cornwall, they're communicators. They want to communicate the news. They want to communicate the news, not the noise. And it was like, bam, in my head. It was like, Linda, this is a really big one for you because I keep telling you to speak out and you don't speak out at all. And I have this voice in my head that's always saying, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. You know, and who wants to listen to you anyway? Okay. And it was like God was saying, that's a lie. You are trading the truth for a lie. And that's something else that you need to repent of. That's another sin. Okay, let's go there. Then walk down Malpass, down by the river, really busy, really horrible, sat on a bench. And as I walked down past there, one of my daughter's, Megan's friends, used to live down there. It was one of her best friends. And I spent a lot of hours driving backwards and forwards to this friend. And as I walked past her house, it was like, you've got to let go of the past. You have got to start forgiving. You are holding on too much to the past. And that was something else. You've got to repent of that. Until you repent of that past and you know, give that forgiveness, you are not going to move on. So that was another one. And then up to Trelander. Have you ever walked up Trelander Hill past Domino's? We walked up there actually on Monday. We went to visit some people. You keep walking and walking and your heart goes big and bumping and you're getting out of breath. And and I was like, this is so hard. I was like, yeah, and you keep saying things are too hard. You're suppressing the truth. We read that in Romans. You're suppressing the truth because I have given you all those promises. I have promised you so much, and yet you say it's too hard. So all of these things, we'll put put inside. Okay, these are all the things that I need to repent of. They're sins and they're getting in the way. So what can we do with all this sin? Well, in 1 Peter 2:24, this is what it says. It says, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, we are healed. By his blood, we are healed. Let me read that again. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. This is what happens. It all goes on that cross. And we're not left empty. We are filled up with God's presence. His Holy Spirit fills up everything when the sin is gone. So how did Jesus demonstrate his response to sin? In so many ways. But I just want to pull out a few of the stories that you'll know without looking them up. So Jesus healed the paralyzed man. And before he healed him, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." In Luke 7, we hear about the woman washing Jesus' feet. Do you remember that one with the perfume and the hair? And she was crying and people were looking on, judging. But what did Jesus say? He said, "Your sins are forgiven." And then that man that was lying on that mat for 38 years, all this stuff is with him for 38 years. What did Jesus say? He said, "Pick up your mat. Your sins are forgiven." And John 8, that woman committing adultery, all those people around, you know, first accusations, judgments, all of that. But what did Jesus say? "Neither do I condemn you. Go sin no more." Jesus's response, how he demonstrates his reaction, his response to sin is forgiveness. He knows that sin is not something that needs to be part of us. It can all go in the name of Jesus. He wants that new life, that new refreshing. He wants something new, not the condemning. He wants the new. He wants to break every chain. I just wrote that down actually when Holly and Mark were singing. You know, that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to break every chain. So God takes sin really seriously. It's not like a little fleck that we can just, you know, brush it off. This is really, really deep. And if God takes it that seriously, then so should we. You know, we know that the Bible says, you know, the wages of sin is death. This is really heavy stuff. And we know, we talk about it so much, that God sent his son to die for us. That's huge. You know, when I was sitting in my shed thinking about this talk, I actually knelt on the floor and I said, "God, what do you want to say? What do you really want to say?" And these were the words that came into my head. It's like, you have diluted the good news and you are missing out. Don't share this message with an umbrella of judgment. Share this message under the umbrella of my love. And then I was reminding of the great feast. You know that parable that Jesus spoke about? When that great feast was laid out and, you know, and the people were invited to come, but everybody made excuses, you know, and they walked away. What did they miss out on? They missed out on sitting with the master and being in the presence of the master. And they missed out on the party. They missed out on all the good, good things. And that was what God was saying to me. Don't dilute this. You're missing out. You're missing so much. But look at it under the umbrella of my love. So could it be that if we don't take sin seriously, we're missing out on so much? And I just sat and thought about that just for a few moments, and these are some of the thoughts that I wanted to share with you. By not taking sin so seriously and sitting under that umbrella, we don't have the relationship that God created for us, what we read about in Genesis 1. We're robbing ourselves of that relationship that we can have with God. We don't experience that full forgiveness that we've just heard, that Jesus just says so freely. really, in a way, he just says, I forgive you. I forgive you. We rob ourselves of that forgiveness. It's so powerful. Just think of the outcome of those people that we read about in those stories. They were leaping and jumping and praising God, you know, because of the forgiveness that they've had. We rob ourselves of the joy as well. Not the joy, not the happy stuff. The really deep root joy. You know, even in grief and even in the virus and, you know, even in the sufferings and all of those things, you know, we can have joy in that too. You know, I'm thinking particularly about this morning about people that have lost people, you know, that have bereavement. You know, Jesus is saying, just come under my love, get rid of that bit and just sit under my umbrella, because you can have the joy in that with me. Another thing is that we don't experience the full plans that God has for us. We so freely go off with this Jeremiah verse, don't we? Where we say, God has good plans for you. And that is so true. But if we've still got sin, if we're not taking sin so seriously, those plans are stifled. Just think of all those things that we're missing out on. And also, the glorious grace of God is not experienced in the same way. I was thinking about this morning, about how can we explain the grace. And it's like, imagine that you've got this new techo toy or a new, I don't know, something with a plug, you know, whatever you'd want with a plug. And it's like opening the present out, taking the present out, but leaving the plug in there. You know, it's no good. We're not really experiencing the full grace of this gift that God gives us. And we so easily suppress the truth of God in difficult times. It's so easy just to go back to the way that the world deals with things in difficult times. You know, we're not experiencing the comfort that we can have, you know, if we're not fully in the presence of God. And we don't encounter the resurrection power of God. We stifle it. We reduce the glory that we can experience and see. And we feel weary and heavy burdened. But Jesus says, my burden and his light. You know, to just imagine those people that have had that forgiveness in all those stories. They're leaping, like we've said, and they're jumping. Their spirits are light. Okay. And as we think about the arise that Matt's been talking about, you know, if we're living from the inside out, okay, if we've got the sin on the inside, then what's going to come out? Is that what we want to share with others? And that is another point as well. If we haven't experienced the full forgiveness of sin, if we don't take it seriously, it does affect how we witness. It does affect how we are. It does affect what people see. Because if people don't see, you know, that we've got this forgiveness and this joy and everything, why would they even want it? You know, so us not releasing and not confessing and not repenting also affects how we witness and how we share and how we are in families as well for this salvation for others. But the biggest one of all of this is the gift of God's love. We can't fully encounter and be alive in the love of God if we choose not to deal with sin. The blood of Christ is enough to set us completely free for sin. Nothing else is needed. We just need to sit under that umbrella. We started off looking at that hard verse about how God's heart breaks. You know, I've always thought that it breaks because I'm being so bad and I'm being so sinful. But actually, I think it's because his heart breaks because our sin stops us being in his presence. And that is really, really quite a powerful thing. And God gives us a new opportunity to start again, to experience that full love of the Father. I've been reading a book. Somebody recommended this book to me. It's called The Ragamuffin Gospel. And I just want to share one bit in there. He bases it on Ephesians. And he talks about this love. He sums it up a lot better than I can using Ephesians 3. And just take a minute just to think about how powerful this love is and how we're robbing ourselves of the love of God. The love of God is simply unimaginable, so that Christ may live in your hearts through faith, and then, planted in love and built on love with all God's holy people, you will have the strength to grasp the breadth and the length, the height and the depth, so that knowing the love of Christ, which is beyond knowledge, may you be filled with the utter fullness of God. Do we really hear what Paul is saying? Let go of impoverished, circumscribed and finite perceptions of God. The love of Christ is beyond all knowledge, beyond anything we can intellectualize or imagine. It is not a mild benevolence, but a consuming fire. Jesus is so unbearably forgiving and infinitely patient and so unendingly loving that he provides us with the resources we need to live life of gracious response, saying, glory to him whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we could ask or imagine. Do you want that love? I want to finish by sharing the story of the prodigal son. So whatever you're doing, whether you're washing up, doing the ironing, doing your jobs, whatever, just stop for a moment. Just sit down. And we're just going to hear the story of the prodigal son. It's in Luke 15, okay? And I don't want to think at all about the sons. I don't want to think about their sins or what their attitudes are or what they've been doing or why they're doing it. I don't want to unpack any of that. What I want us to focus on just for the next few minutes is the father. Okay, this is the Father that's saying to you, sit under the umbrella of my love and know that you are missing out if you choose to hold on to sin, remembering that my blood has done everything. It's done enough. Okay, so let's just finish by taking a moment. Let's imagine ourselves just being the Father, just hearing what the Father wants to say to you this morning through this story. And then Holly and Mark are going to lead us in a song so we can reflect on it a little bit more. Okay. A man had two sons. The youngest son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So the father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. The father granted that son's request. That son had free choice, and he chose to make that decision to ask for his inheritance then. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. That father watched that son walk away. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and a man set him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When finally he came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants had food enough to spare, and here I am dying. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. That son knew that he could approach again his father. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. The father can see anybody that decides to turn from that back to him. He can see you from a long way off. The father, filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son. The father is running to you. You're not running to the father. The father is running to you this morning, filled with love and compassion. And when he met the son, he held him, he embraced him in his arms. None of this virus stuff. He completely embraced him and held him, just like that first time. You know, when you hold somebody, you just hold them. Imagine that father now holding you so tight. And then you go to say, I'm sorry, I've sinned. But all the father wants to do is say, quick, quick. quick, bring the finest robes. Bring the finest robes. Put them on him. Give him the ring, the sandals. Kill the calves. We're going to feast. We're going to feast. We're going to have a party. The Father says the same to you this morning. He sees you from a long way off. He'll run to you. He'll put his arms around you. He will embrace you. You might want to talk about your sins. You might need to repent. But what he wants you to do is totally experience, under the umbrella of his love, his total forgiveness. So you no longer have to walk in the sin. So you can experience his presence every day. Amen.